Blog Talk Radio.
Everyone, welcome to Neil Baker Psychic Hour. I am Kristen, and I'm here with psychic and author Neil Baker. Good morning, Neil.
Good morning.
Today, we are continuing our discussion about chakra, problems in the chakra system, the colors of the chakras, and it's a continuation of our conversation we were having on Monday. So, we're glad you all could join us, callers. We get to readings at about quarter after the hour, so those of you who are waiting in the queue will be getting a reading. Thank you for calling in, and please know that we will be getting to your call shortly. To stay connected with us, you may follow us right here on Blog Talk Radio by clicking the follow button under our profile name, the Neil Baker Psychic Hour, and you may also join us on Facebook and on Twitter. Neil's books can be found on Amazon.com. And what else? I don't know what other things I have to tell people. Oh, your phone number, 562-596-7818. Of course, these are radio readings, so time permits us only a small amount of time for each caller. So if you would like to discuss what comes up on the show further with Neil, please call him again, 562-596-7818. Neil, so do you remember where we were at?
Where we were talking about chakras, and, you know, even the term itself, it's an ancient term. I think the first mention of it was in the Vedas around 1700 B.C. Around that time, and so we're looking even before Christ's time. And basically, when that ancient discovery was articulated, they were talking more or less about breath channels and how that has to do with the energy of the body. So it first comes with the idea of breath, and of course the idea of breath comes with the idea of life, and the idea of life comes with the idea of creation, which is when ultimately in other texts when God first breathes into the nostrils of man and gives him life, gives him a soul. Now, when that life and that soul are originated, because it's my belief, too, that the soul is connected to the spirit, we're really talking about not so much the physical body, but the subtle body. Subtle body is not the physical body. So there's non-physical energy channels. And the term is, they're actually, the term is NAD, I think it's IIS. And these are channels in the subtle body that have the concept of prana and vital energy and things like that, where we begin to move towards what are considered, if for lack of a better word in the Sanskrit, wheels or turning points in our body. And each of them govern, like in the United States, each of them govern a different section of the body. So we have different layers of the body, physical layers, emotional layers, intellectual layers. that lead up ultimately to the spirituality of who you are as human beings, which tops at the crown level. And then each of these chakras have been assigned a color, like a ranking system, going from a deep red all the way up to a violet or a whitish energy. And so as you move through it, the energy levels of the chakras and the colors and the spinning of the energies, or these wheels as they're supposedly called, and we're not even talking today about the kundalini and the spine, we're just referring to the chakras themselves.
Oh, really? I used it as one of our tags for the show, but...
you'd use it as a tag of the show. Because
this relates to the kundalini. Obviously, the chakra system is connected.
Well, it does, because it's the central channel that the chakras kind of rest upon. They're not really attached. It's not like there's an attachment, like a hinge and an attachment. This is all in a cosmic area, so they're sort of floating near the alignment of the spine. And again, these chakras, so they're kind of floating there along the alignment of the spine, like different countries in and of themselves, and they're spinning. You've got to imagine them spinning. And they have petals and spokes like flowers, and they're blooming or they're not blooming. And each of them contain a certain standard of one's existence according to the elements of who we are as human beings. Look at how some of us have wonderful physical physiques,
physiques for men,
yes.
Figures for women.
And some of, you know, we always think brain and brawn are they're gorgeous and they're brainless, you know, or we have a total package of someone who is like totally fit, a wonderful energy, and they're also intelligent. We have this wonderful figure, and the alignment of all the energies are just, I mean, those are not the common term. Notice how many intellectual people, they sometimes have pot bellies, they don't work out, so there's always, there's this off balance sometimes of the alignment of what it is to be a total human being. And to be a total human being is basically someone who's fit, honest, has integrity, is intellectual, intelligent, and emotionally available. And they have their female and male energies all connected and balanced. This is an individual that has either consciously or unconsciously examined the energies of their body and how they're governed from the ground up, and use that as a kind of mode of transportation through life. So everything's just really fit. Sometimes you see somebody and they're really like really put together, and everything's great. You walk into their house, it looks like a pigsty, or they're hoarders,
mm-hmm.
or they have something's wrong somewhere in the exterior parts of their energy. So the totality of one's health is really reflected not only from the inner energies, but the chakras send out energies, and thereby it's also reflective in the outer energies, which also includes how others see us, what the report is on how others view us, whether we have a lot of friends or a lot of enemies. So all of these things amount to and are gathered in our individual chakra areas. And when I'm looking at somebody and I see vibrant energies in their chakra system, vibrant colors, I know all these things are occurring concurrently. They have a nice environment, they're healthy inside, there's no problem. You know, and everything, when you look at life, some people have intellectual battles with people, some people have physical battles with people. Whenever I've done some readings with gang members, and I've always noticed in their lower chakras there's a lot of murkiness. Because these people are always looking over their shoulder, always in this gang warfare attitude, and it's live or die. It's territory.
So I mean, that's related to the first chakra, obviously, because of the tribal energies.
Mm-hmm. And some of them are brilliant. It's sad because some of them are absolutely brilliant. When I get up to their top chakras, they're beaming.
Interesting.
Because they're very intelligent, and they've got their wits about them, but yet they're surrounded. A lot of master criminals were like this. Scarface and people like that. Who was that Italian criminal that's so famous?
Gotti? No.
Back before then. Brilliant criminal masterminds, they call them. But they live in a primitive world of energy, and so therefore you could look at someone and go, wow, your lower chakras, even though they're rich and they may have bodyguards and 10 cars and 5 mansions, it doesn't matter. The energy of that chakra can still be murky. So when we look at more less dramatic situations in our lives, how many of our listeners have enemies? How many of our listeners are in conflict? You've got to look at the chakra system of what your conflict is. Is it an emotional conflict you're in? Is it a job conflict or an environmental conflict that you own your home? Al Capone, yes, I was just thinking. Thank you. So, to me, the alignment of these energies, which goes way back in time, imagine the confusion even that probably Adam had in his chakra system when he decided to move into an element of knowledge, and that we began a course of war between obedience and knowledge and what the two actually meant. To obey a command or to seek a form of knowledge and deviate from a command. But then that brought us existentialism. And we talk more and more about the existential crises in the world. Well, that comes from the idea that we are separated from ourselves or separated from our environment, and there's not a wholeness going on whereby we have total closure on an energy, and we're always working with contingencies down to the very idea that does God even exist? So this causes a separation in the chakra systems, and I can even look at the chakra system due to the ability of the third eye and design my a concept, if you will, in regards to what the conflicts are of any individual. So you can do this on your own. And it's just not just spinning, you know, you breathe in and you're spinning and you think your chakras, oh, my chakra's spinning so nice. Oh, it must be so wonderful, the color. You also have to look at your life. You have to look at the conditions of your life and don't be dismayed or otherwise swayed into some form of thinking, whether it's good or bad, that a lot of people think, you know, I breathe, I do yoga, but my life's a mess. It's hard for me to find, in my sense of meditation and tranquility, it's hard for me to step back into the earth and find the same balance. So you really have to look at that prospect that we are indeed investigating deeply into our souls to understand where the real root of our problems are, not just on the top surfaces.
Okay, Neil. You know, for those of us trying to awaken our third eye and get in touch with our chakras and read them, I mean, are we, as just lay people, able to start developing our third eye so we can look at our own chakra system?
Well, think of the third eye as the sixth realm of existence.
Mm-hmm.
It's the sixth realm of existence. It's your third eye. It's the sixth chakra. And it's either going to be closed or it's going to be opened. If it's opened, then you have total awareness. And if you have total awareness, you have total understanding. And you're not basically in conflict.
Mm-hmm.
You're not in conflict. You don't even seek psychics. Because your vision is so contained within an area of knowledge and acknowledgement of what life really is, that knowledge is within you. You have the knowledge within you, and of course that knowledge is connected to higher vibrations leading to God. But if you're closed, then you're going to not be able to see.
Mm-hmm.
And you're going to use a certain physical aspect of your being in order to interpret what your environment's doing. It's all going to be based on a physical interpretation. Oh, I'm not happy. Oh, I didn't get this. Oh, it must be because of this. And you're going to lose the higher meaning of what existence is when you're really in an even space with your third eye or your omniscient self, your all-knowing self.
Okay, Neil. Well, let's get to some of our callers. Perhaps we'll have time to revisit today. We've got several people in the queue. It looks like nobody has their hand raised, but I'm assuming that everybody in queue wants to speak with us. So I'm going to take our first caller, 770. Good morning.
Good morning. Wow, this is Maddie.
Maddie,
I didn't raise my hand. I thought I'd click one. How are you guys doing? Good?
Good, good, Maddie. Thank you. How are you?
Great. I'm good.
It's been
thank
a while.
You. Say what?
It's been a while.
Yeah, it has been a while. I had another birthday for Neil, and I'm a little curious about this guy, and I said, let me see what Neil has to say. I think I know, but I just want to get his...
Righty. What's the birthday, Maddie?
His birthday is 9/21/43.
Okay.
She's a 27/9, and he's...
And his, yeah, well, there's already connections. The years are interchangeable.
11/12/22/24/25/26/27/29/11/2. Well, Maddie, he's an interesting guy, I'll say that for him. And that's kind of a sloppy term, really.
Yeah, okay.
Men who, he's a 29/11/2, and just on a surface level, just to get to the first chapter of a human being's existence, he's got a very strong intensity about him. Men who are 29/11/2s are very, can be very strong, have a strong intensity, have a strong sexuality, but they also can find, men like this, they find that their lives have a certain degree of darkness in them. And what I mean by darkness is that, you know, there's been troubles, trials, hardships. Life wasn't easy for them.
Oh, okay.
You know, those kinds of things do exist oftentimes, more often than not, with a man or even a woman that has a 29/11/2 in their energy. Now, the interesting thing about it is that he's a 2 and you're a 9. And that becomes 29. So your combined master numbers together become his master number. So therefore, you have a past life with him.
Oh.
There's a past life zone going on. And not only that, but as we go deeper into the layers of your existence with this man in this lifetime and in previous lifetimes, your fire number, your day is 7. And his year is a broken up 7/43. But not only that, your years are interchangeable. Your 4 to his 3 is 43, and his 4 to your 5 is 45. So your years are interchangeable, and by combining them in that way, they become each of the years you were born. So you not only have a past life with them, you actually have what? You have a journey with him that is based on past lives that's supposed to move into higher elements of this lifetime.
Oh.
You're just not dealing with past life issues with this guy and meeting with him to resolve those issues. You're also meeting this man to understand higher parts of life and how best to express them. So it's a pretty intense, potentially intense connection you have with this person. The only true contingency, or one of the only true contingencies, would be that he's compounded, Maddie. His numbers are reduced twice, 29, 11, 2, which can make life rather confusing And so there, and that, and the byproduct of that would be that there would be a disconnection, meaning that somewhere in his deeper sense, he won't want to go through this journey with you because he's not ready. And then there would be, he would disengage and go and operate on some other level, not dealing with the issues at hand.
Oh God, you—that's exactly what I've been feeling. Somewhat, you put it in another. You stated in another way, but that's exactly what I've been kind of feeling like. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
So,
because number one, this is a man at the stage in his life. He's never been married, and he said it was his fault. And we spoke on Sunday, and he mentioned something to the fact that I don't believe in weddings, and I don't believe in honeymoons, and I don't believe in, you know. And I'm thinking, why did he? I never questioned him why he talking that way, but I just felt like he is. I think this is a man that's gotten settled in his with his life. He's content the way it is, and it's going to stay that way.
Yeah. Yeah, 29.11.2, men in this category, not to classify just a general classification, but oftentimes their sexuality is very important and they don't want to feel confined. And their attitude of sexuality is less romantic than it is primitive and animalistic.
Okay.
But that doesn't mean that he can't express a certain passion in his sexuality.
Mm-hmm.
But you see, he's annoyed by any domestic element of life. It's annoying to him because it probably, in his world, obscures his sense of true sexuality. It becomes too domesticated, too confining. He would lose his interest. And so he's already walking around with this program. You don't even need to spark it. Just the fact that he's around a woman, he has to broadcast what his vibration is all about.
Mm-hmm.
He can eliminate any potential threat to that area because any woman who would hear that, you know, might say, well, you're not for me. And then he's eliminated having to deal with those kinds of issues, and he just goes seek somebody that fits more his vibe in this lifetime, which would be more on a, you know, let's be nice, let's have a good time, let's think about sex, let's think about passion, but let's not go any further.
No deep commitment. I mean, someone who hasn't
That's exactly what I felt. That's exactly what that. He's a musician, and I think his music comes first, too.
Wow.
Well, you know, musicians can be passionate, they can be caring, they can be there, and they can also be loners and, you know, and just dangle on the area that this is their profile. You know, they're kind of vagabond musicians, troubadours, whatever they want. You know, they're rock stars, but they love the style because it fits the psyche of who they are, and anything else would aggravate their sense of being. It's too bad, but he has a broken up 7 and it's 43, and spirituality is something that he's probably incorporated into his music, maybe a little bit of his soul, but in terms of his commitment to other human beings, spirituality would not be part of the process.
Okay.
Well, Maddie, hopefully
I'm glad I got that enlightenment. Thank you.
You're welcome. Thanks. And I don't know if Maddie heard me because she was talking at the same time I was, but, you know, 1943 is when this guy's born, right? That's what I have written down. I mean, you know, someone who has never been married at that age, I mean, obviously is someone who's not really a commitment type person. So, you know.
Obviously not.
You can have fun with somebody like that if that's where you're at and you don't want to go deeper in terms of really bonding with an individual.
You know,
but
The mental vibrations of life can be in such a way that some men would say, my God, you know, I'm getting old. Maybe this would be nice to do this now. You get a lot of people flying off and getting married at later stages of their life just because they want to get that experience in, and they feel that at the tail end of their life, nothing's going to threaten them.
Right, but I think in accordance with the profile that she's provided, it fits more into a non-committal type of energy, especially when she said he was a musician, which is, you know, of course, musicians – are wonderful and passionate, like you said, but, you know, they can also be kind of, you know, free.
Well, we better say musicians, writers, bricklayers, bakers.
I know what you're saying, but there's a certain, you know what I'm saying.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying. Okay.
I do.
All right. Area code 310. Good morning.
Could you say it again?
Hi, are you there? 310?
310.
Hi, yes, who's this?
Mary.
I'm sorry?
Mary,
it's hard to hear you. If you could talk right into your phone, that would be great.
Yeah.
And what's your birth date, Mary?
7/11/53.
All right. And Mary, you're calling from California. Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Welcome to our show.
Thank you.
Welcome. She's a 27/9 like Maddie. Am I right? Am I adding that right? 7/8/9. 19
yeah.
and 8. Mm-hmm. Yeah. What question for us this morning, Mary?
My question is, I just want to see if my guy is connected to me.
Okay, let's get his birth date real quick.
8/1/50. 8/1/50.
8/1/1950. 8/1/1950.
He's a
24/6. Yes. Uh-huh. Well,
same,
let's see.
Nine
we got some interesting things going on.
You're
at different levels of master number energy and different levels of chakra energy, but you have a strong past life connection with him.
Okay.
So the idea is that the two of your souls have all reconnected.
Uh-huh. That's true.
Now, if you notice, 9 and your master number is 9.
Okay.
His 6.
That his is what?
His
6.
Is
I didn't
six.
Hear that. His is 6?
Yeah, his is 6. Yours is 9. His is 6.
Okay.
That adds up to 15.
Okay.
Now, when we go over to your months, Mary, you're
right.
7 and he's 8. That adds up to 15.
Oh.
And you each have these single digits in your day. You have 2 ones, he has 1.
Right.
But the reflection of energy, those ones add up to 3. Now, when
right.
we go over to your year, there's a difference of 3. So,
oh, right. Mm-hmm.
See, so you're going, okay, this number system, that's kind of interesting. What
mm-hmm.
does it mean?
Yeah.
What it means is that you have a karmic connection to him, as I said.
Mm-hmm.
The idea, though, is that you're supposed to meet with this guy and find balance between opposites.
Okay.
You're supposed to find this sense of balance, which would bring the opposites more into a fusion of energy, whereby you have a combined now element of equilibrium.
Okay.
And you move into the area of a higher substance of thought and content where you could actually evolve and start talking about your future together
mm-hmm.
and elements of your future beyond just, hey, we ought to take a trip together. You know,
mm-hmm.
it'd be fun to go here or do this. But more like, wow, wouldn't it be nice if we lived together, if we really built a life together, you get into a higher element of that, and then we're dealing with that factor of your year, with that 3-year difference, but that
mm-hmm.
also equates to the 3 between your master numbers, 9 and 6, which means that there's a potential for a union under one roof.
I see. Good. Okay.
Does that make any sense?
Yeah, it really does. Thank you.
Okay, I know we're kind of running real quick around the bases because you know, we're not stopping
Thanks.
And analyzing anything, but that's how it goes right there.
Great. Thanks, Neil. Kristen.
You're welcome. Thank you. 562-596-7818 is Neil's number.
You know, to interpret by a code is just one way of looking at a life or two lives.
Yeah, we were just talking about this yesterday, actually. Do you remember?
Uh-huh.
You and I?
Yeah, well.
Don't you remember?
my brain goes, you know, 5 minutes ago I'm worrying about.
No, we were talking about, remember we were talking about twin soul connection. We were looking at specific birth dates and analyzing codes within those birth dates because, you know, we've talked on past shows about twin soul, which is kind of getting off track here. But in relation to our conversation, I was, you know, asking about certain codes. But it's more than just codes. I mean, there's vibrations that go on. So the same thing with you analyzing their birth dates together. I mean, the numbers are a vibration themselves, but you're going to get outside information. You know, that's not just associated with a number code.
Yeah.
In
a more
in-depth,
when we go in-depth and we have that leisurely amount of time when we go in-depth and we get into all the, all the meat of the energy, you know, the likes, dislikes, things that have happened. That goes deeper.
Right, exactly.
The
karmic journey that isn't always shown in the numbers in terms of divorces or children, et cetera, et cetera.
That's a good point. Karmic, when you're examining, when I'm examining one person, more or less two people, karmic journeys are fascinating to take because whether the person registers with their karma or not, it can still surface. Because I can mention something about a karma in a person's life and they may not connect to it. But they may say, you know, but the thing is, I don't know if I ever had a past life in China, but I'm intrigued by China, and I've been there. Isn't that weird that you would say that? And then it starts to open up deeper discussions because the person has the availability to talk to somebody who's enmeshed in the idea of karma and journeys of past lives more or less than the one we're on. Don't forget, the journey we're on right now is based upon your past life. And the journey you're on right now is leading towards your transcendence. So you're kind of smack in the middle. What's that song, Stuck in the Middle?
Stuck in the Middle with you.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, Joker's to the right of me. I love that song. The idea, metaphorically, you don't like it?
Yeah, it's all right.
I always thought that was Bob Dylan singing that song. But anyways, it doesn't matter. We're not here discussing music.
Too bad. Another show, maybe.
Maybe another show. Mm-hmm. We're here to look at the combination between past, present, and future. Of course, that can involve music. But between past, present, and future, and those elements, we're kind of in the middle. But to the left of us would be the past. To the right of us could be the Joker. Maybe we were jesters. And to the right of us would be our future energy that we're building upon.
Right.
But that future is somewhat dependent on how we wrap up our karma. And the more we're aware of our karma, the more we can more easily slide into home plate and experience our transcendence.
Yeah. Okay, Neil. Well.
You got another caller?
We do. We have other callers. So
okay.
I'm just going to move into that right now. 425, I believe this is Denny.
Yes, this is Denny. Hi.
Denny, you know, it's really hard to hear everybody today. Can you talk right into your phone, please? He's 426.
Is that better?
And you're that's a little bit better. Not great, but 358.
Okay.
2676. Denny?
Yes, ma'am. Can you hear me okay?
Uh-huh. I mean, it's faded, but we can hear you well enough to get your question. Go ahead with your question.
I will speak loudly. Well, I did have a question, but then Neil started talking about twin souls, and I just was wondering if he could elaborate a little bit more, because my wife and I, we are twin souls with twin flames, and we just recently started working with other people. Just wondering if you could elaborate on that a little bit more for us.
Well, Denny, I'm twin souls. Twin souls there are a lot of factors that play into designating twin souls, which I don't know if there's a ton of information out there, but there are specific numerical codes, and it's like many numerical codes that need to line up between two twin souls. And Neil and I are working on a book right now, a numerology book, and we're going to go into great depth about what qualifies twin souls. And again, there's vibrational energy, karmic energy, and transcendent energy that plays into that. Neil?
It's true. I mean, when twin souls is a certain specialized category of the connection between the soul energy of a human being that happened outside of the earth. When you can have soul mates, which can be many in a lifetime, and again, soul mates are energies that occurred outside of the physical planet. They occurred within the soul dimension that occurred beyond the physical breath of life. It's just that you rejoin with souls back on the planet after having, quote, mated with them, which doesn't mean sexual necessarily at all in the soul capacity of language. Twin souls is different. Twin souls is the splitting of a single soul into a male and female, or if you will, it doesn't matter, male to male, female to female. It all depends on the content of the psyche itself.
And even if that male and female, the split happens, that female soul can go through male incarnations on Earth,
yeah.
And that male soul can go through female incarnations on the Earth. But the basis of it, male and female.
The base of it, because there's no way, of course, two men coming to me, two women coming to me and calling themselves twin souls is an absolute accuracy in terms of if it does fit that category.
Mm-hmm.
So it doesn't... Our current sexuality is not at issue. It's our current soul content that's at issue, not our gender. So in that regard, when we have a twin soul, it's the splitting of one soul. We're not combining with another soul and having a soulmate experience. We're having a twin soul experience, which is a phenomena that our brains cannot handle at the moment because we would have to be so evolved in that capacity that we've come to the earth to experience our twin soul, meaning that there's something that must have occurred in the soul element that brought about the split, more or less that the twin souls are coming all the way back to talk about it and to live it through. Why didn't you stay on the soul plane? Why did you come back? Because there's a kind of division, Denny, that in the soul world, when you have a twin soul, there was some kind of conflict still going on there to where the two souls needed to come back to the earth in that split condition to work out either the beauty or the design of their people, of who they are. Indeed, what I'm going to say something kind of controversial. Twin souls can also kill each other. They can be at odds. It doesn't always represent a beautiful design as much as we want to believe it does, but yes, twin souls can be a beautifully designed couple with peace, tranquility and love all intact.
Something else we were talking about yesterday, Neil, in regard to the twin soul evolution is that you can go through many incarnations with your twin soul, but that twin soul energy is not activated generally. When you're really getting into the nature of being twin souls, you're doing something significant on the planet, one, and two, if you're really activating that energy in its fullest capacity, you're probably ready to transcend with that twin soul. No, it doesn't always happen, and yes, twin souls can meet each other in other incarnations when things are not manifested in their fullest.
Yes. When you're dealing with a twin soul, Denny, that's true. Kristen, when you're dealing with the twin soul, Denny, you're absolutely involved in the inner wisdom and death of the body. You're involved in the inner wisdom and the death of the body because you're twin souls. You're defining the soul existence more than the twin physical existence. So it goes into a deeper depth that you're here to establish an absolute divine purpose which by transcends you totally, eternally into the soul world when you get to that last aspect of physical breath.
And again, just as there's codes in the birth dates, there are extensive codes. You can get very far comparing birth dates, Neil, and see that there are many, many elements that fit the twin soul connection, but then you get to the end and it's not there. So it's very specialized.
It's very
rare.
It's rare. But it exists. There's thousands of us out there that have this connection. But in the fine formula an interpretation as far as our minds are involved in the process, and not just our feelings. There is a pure, deep analysis of all kinds of aspects of thought, including math and birth dates, that qualify for a soul twin connection.
Mm-hmm. And when is that book coming out? When are you guys planning on releasing it?
In our next lifetime.
No, really, it's a huge project. So we're working on it. We've been working on it for over a year, Denny. But
yeah.
It's going to be a massive book, probably. And, you know, hopefully
we hope
within
the book,
next couple years.
We hope
please.
The book literally breathes with energy. I mean, we want to make this a special magical book, not just a knowledgeable book, but something that has a certain breath of life in it. So it's taking great care, you know. We don't want to build
mm-hmm.
a carnival. We want to build Disneyland. So it's
right.
taking a little bit of time.
Yeah. But then if you're interested,
we'll
there are five shows. We've talked about this. You know, we've dedicated shows to the subject. So you can always check that out if you're
interested.
We'll
do that.
Okay, thank you, Denny, and feel
great,
free to call. Okay, thank you. All right, 661 area code. Good morning.
Good morning.
Hi, who's this?
My name's Gary.
Hi, Gary. What's your
so
birthday, Gary? Where are you calling from?
62175,
uh-huh.
California.
Yeah. 6789. Looks like the desert. 661. 6789. 1912. 314?
Yeah.
Gary, what's your question?
So my question is this. What can you tell me about my childhood and people a part of my childhood who are now no longer with us that might be watching over me?
Well, you know, Gary, I don't, you know, when I'm listening to you and I'm experiencing your voice, I don't really know who you are, but I'm getting, I don't know why, but on a kind of a crude, raw material level, I'm getting a lot of music around you. I don't know what it's about yet, but it's intriguing me. And I don't know if there was either you or someone in your past that could play an instrument and with some sense of emotion, and it carried some sense of immediate significance to you, or a recollection of someone who played a musical instrument. I would first have to ask you that question before I approached any other topic and go into depth with it. Does anything like that register with you?
A little bit. There's someone that I wasn't very close to, but he was known for playing an instrument a lot, and the very few times I did see him, he did.
Yeah, he's the gatekeeper. He probably left the planet and stayed connected as a gatekeeper for you to open up a bigger world of interaction with people who have crossed over, people who meant something to you, people who were vital, and people who were instrumental in your upbringing. So in that regard, I mean, it could be a parent, or both, or any of your parents crossed over?
No.
Well, there's a parental figure, Gary, that I, you know, sometimes our parents come in odd forms, so I don't know. It's a parental figure I'm getting around you when we talk about...
I had a grandfather. He wasn't my biological grandfather, but he was like my grandfather. He actually did those things, actually.
Well, that...
Wow.
Okay, so as we move into a kind of a limited time of here, my attitude is the music person is ushering in, through piano, whatever, It feels like hands on notes, but it's ushering in. Usually, when you usher in something, you're using a trumpet. But ushering in this grandfatherly-like individual, who is very commanding in the essence of their vibration, and is sort of trying to suggest to me that he's embracing you, he's hugging you. There's an emotional enveloping energy of his soul around you. So there's a great sense somewhere, Gary, that last embrace on the physical plane, he either needs to revisit or he never got to do before his passing.
The trumpet is the one.
Yeah, trumpet. Because it felt like that. And I'm looking at the hands on the notes of the trumpet, which it just, you know, it didn't seem like a violin or anything like that, or a strumming of a guitar. It felt like a notes, hands on notes. So I think we got those two so far to consider. There's a tremendous sense of flight around you. So the images could go beyond the dream world into an actual plane of flying. Something about flying, something about airplanes. I'm not. What's that? No.
No.
Have you ever been on a plane?
I have, of course. Yeah.
You have, of course. Have you ever? Gary, in your past, have you ever built a model? Any planes, any toys, any... No?
No, that's nothing I was usually ever into, no.
Okay, well, there's something, I don't know, with more ample time, I would have to investigate where the plane took you, because there might be something kind of there might be some mystique involving if the plane ever took you to a tropical island or to a place that's sort of exotic, that would be of interest to me. If you've ever even been to I haven't been there, but if you ever been to as common a place as Hawaii, that would be of interest to me. Have you ever gone to
Hawaii? Yes, I have.
Yeah.
I was just on a plane 2 days ago, so.
That's
probably the elbowing, I would call it, of this spirit around you, even previous to this reading. So it's
okay.
Alluded to the fact that it was with you on that plane, and that's part of it. Now, as we stretch back to your visit to Hawaii, there's another meaning in there, Gary, that's very intriguing to me as a reader. So there's something in there which brings me more to the element of ocean and seashells and the salt and that whole...
I was in the Navy, so...
Oh, the Navy. There we're going in that. See, now we're going deeper. I'm traveling deeper into your psyche, and I'm trying to figure out, just as a human being, who I'm speaking to, where you come from, and what is the content of your soul as much as the content of your physical reality in this lifetime. But you definitely have spirit energies around you.
Okay.
All right, Gary, well.
Thank you very much.
All right. You're very welcome. Thanks for your call. 562-596-7818 is Neil's direct number. And I'm just looking at our list here, and we have Diana, who is born on 11-8-49, Neil. She's a 36. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Hi, Neil, also. Well, I'm, you know, up and down. And a lot of difficulty. I was wondering if you could, if you would be willing to send me some more energy, because I have not completed what I need to do, and I'm getting very scattered.
That related to the lawsuit that you're doing?
Yes, I need to get the attorney to accept the case, and I'm running out of days, but I can't seem to force myself to focus and do things, because always something comes up or a difficulty has to be handled, and I'm feeling very abandoned.
Well, you know, the problem we're getting into a physical conflict on the earth plane, and that takes a certain surgical procedure, if you will, to figure out what's blocking. A lot of people, you know, your situation is personalized, but a lot of people are in your position, Deanna, obviously. People who are struggling and trying to find out how to get their life back in order, and they have the contingencies of the bureaucracy, the legal system, truth and accuracy, justice is all part of the combination as to how they have to kind of wiggle through the fine line to find their essence and their realization that life can be a lot better. So I would have to figure out, it's a certain demand. Now, of course, I can call upon the angels with my sheer breath and just say, help Deanna today, and try to open up that line so we can get something moving and getting you on the course of life so that you don't have to be on this planet just struggling, and that's your existence. The existence doesn't have to just be karmically confined to that area of thought. So, and your energy, Deanna, I mean, I look at your birth date, I know you, I've talked with you, and I know for certain that your life is meant to expand with age. And even though you are 65, it doesn't matter. The age is irrelevant. It's the attitude of where you are in your journey and how you can move forward and surface to such an extent that you can find that realization that life is getting better. Now, that's in the breath of your birth date. So, you know, I would say that you're born on the 11th month, so I know you like numbers. You're born on the 11th month. Your master number is 6. So as soon as you're 66, you will be going through a 11 cycles of your master number. So I can say that somewhere between 65 and the tail end of 66, that's the big window. Hopefully the smaller window will narrow it down to as closely as possible in the near future. But I'll put out energy for that right now, Deanna, because you asked for assistance. And with this brief discussion, I'm adding to it the idea that I'm putting out for you angelic intervention, that indeed my words will ring true, and that by or before your 11th cycle of your master number, you will experience some gratification.
I need to experience some assistance, and especially from myself, before next Tuesday, because otherwise I'll be out without a roof over my head. So I need to act right now, and I am very, very scattered and resourceless. And I'm still faithful, and I still believe, and I had a miracle yesterday of a different nature. But I'm feeling the abandonment, and it looks like it's the end of life. So that's why I was asking if you could send some angelic assistance or, you know, some powerful energy that I can, you know, regroup and handle what I have to and still be in time to avoid the real meaning of the word deadline, because I have a deadline, and if I don't keep it, I'm going to be dead.
Okay, well, with that in mind, that immediacy in mind, I will certainly put forth that kind of intensity. Absolutely. I'll do that, yes.
I appreciate it. Thank you both.
That's the best I can do at the moment, but we'll do it.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Thank you. All right. Okay, Neil, we've got about 5 minutes left. We don't have any other callers, but there was a question that came in from one of our listeners, and they were asking about 9 and 11. So normally I don't take questions via email, but this person is at work and she can't call in. So, I mean, it's a big question, 9 and 11. Totally different numbers, but together, of course, they become an 11 too. 9, very powerful. 11 has its own power, but darkness. But, you know, in a quick, I guess, 4 minute answer, Neil, what can you tell this caller about 9 and 11?
about 9/11? Well, 9/11 is potent. It's a
look
very,
at 9/11. I mean,
yeah,
there you go.
It's a very potent number, and it reinvents itself because 9 and 1 and 1 is 11. So it reinvents itself as any number will reinvent itself with the number 9 attached to it. 11 comes in with also a sense of duality. Duality can be in the sense of sexuality. So it can be a duality of relationship.
Mm-hmm.
It can be a duality of sexuality within a relationship. And if you will, maybe that's attached to emotional. It can be a deep friendship that was once sexual in content on a past life basis. But it's going to have friction. It's going to have trouble. It's going to have conflict. It's going to have competition. There's always an edge to a 9/11 that just, it's not just a smooth sail. 9/11s are like the racehorse. They just don't ride smoothly. There's always some tribulation.
The unfortunate thing about this question is that I don't know what the 9/11 is pertaining to, if it's a birth date 9/11 or if the 9 and 11 are appearing in different birth dates. I'm not sure. So it's, you know, the specificness of the question needs to be refined, of course. But
yeah, I mean, as a day, as a number in a person's life, it has those dimensions. As a date, I talked about this in one of my former books. It is it can bring in a sense of turmoil.
Excuse me. Ah, okay. So she's seeing it everywhere. Well, I mean, it can mean trouble, definitely, but it would be, you know, it's tough to answer a question like that, I know, Neil, when you're not dealing with the person's energy directly. So someone seeing 9/11, what it means to them can mean something totally different than it's going to mean to another person.
Yeah, it doesn't, it just because you're seeing it, doesn't necessarily have any direct meaning. You know, I'm not one that feeds into the fever just because you're seeing numbers, the same numbers everywhere you go, that it really is going to mean something. I don't jump naturally into the conclusion, well, that's got to mean something. You're seeing these numbers everywhere you go. Nah. I mean, I would have to take further testing because that's just part of the attitude of what we envelop into the term of coincidence or meaninglessness with repetition.
Right.
It doesn't mean that much if you're seeing it.
Sometimes your brain is trained, you know, once you see it, then you start, you know, seeing it, and it's just a habit that you're aware of.
That's right. Yeah. Our brains are conditioned to recognize certain landmarks because it's a sense of direction.
You know,
I
know there's a lot of people that believe 11 is an awakening code. It's something to do with, you know, 12-12 and the Mayan calendar and so on and so forth. But, you know, I don't think we necessarily ascribe to that.
The Mayan calendar's predictions has come and gone. And with whatever outstanding, intriguing factors there are in any concept of thought, you know, the absolute predictions of time are not just based on a society of something, even if it is cosmic.
Right, and again, I'm mentioning our book, but we're going to be talking about the number 11 extensively in our book. It's going to be controversial, but, you know, it's definitely, hopefully, going to be eye-opening to individuals that maybe have different interpretations of what the number 11 means. Very powerful number, but a number of duality for sure. Okay, Neil, we're out of time. So we are back on the air on Monday morning at 10 a.m. Pacific. Thanks, everybody, for joining.